everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Craft of the Draft podcast. We're here on a very nice Monday morning in the studios of Radio Carrum. If you can watch us on YouTube at the moment, or if you're listening, you can just take our word for it. But we're back for another episode and another really, a huge week. In terms of weeks of football, this is probably our biggest so far in terms of variety. That big that couldn't even get to see everything because it was that jam-packed. But a lot to unpack in this episode. And we're going to start with the National Championships, and both Vics were in action for the first time this year and both got big wins at Icon Park. Not great conditions, probably didn't stop raining until three-quarter time of the Vic Metro Allies game. And
yep.
Vic Country got a bit better conditions, a bit more desirable, and the kicking probably showed. But let's get straight into it, and we'll start with Vic Metro and Allies. And Vic Metro got the job done 9-13-67 to Allies 6-15-51. Scoreline probably tells it all in terms of the way the game panned out. I think Allies got out to 110 and pretty much set the tone for the rest of the day. That bad kicking is bad football in that sense. And they were always competitive and fair play. I probably didn't give them as much as a chance as they did show in the end. But yeah, it was that midfield class that won it for Metro, as probably expected. And that's probably what's going to lead them through the champs. But let's start at the top. Jagger Smith brought his own football.
Yeah, it was the Jagger Smith show, wasn't it? I was saying to someone last night, when Jagger Smith gets drafted, you're going to probably play the moves like Jagger song because of the natural comparison. But he literally does have moves. The way he contorts his body is really, really impressive. And it was another performance to add to his resume, which across the last 3 weeks has really grown. Obviously, the 50 disposal game, the 40 disposal game, I think 32 disposals for Vic Metro. So not only is he able to find the footy, but I thought he was quite damaging when he did get it. So another Jagger Smith masterclass.
Yeah, it was all the typical Jagger moves, evasive, agile. I mean, he was unselfish at times when he went inside 50 as well, just finding the best option. And it was those moments of poise from him. And yeah, you can't want anything more than someone like that around the contest, really. But that was a 5-star performance from him. And I think our next, on our votes, one down, Murphy Reid, that was an outstanding first game from him and something to really build on. Just typical, similar to Jagger in the sense that they're very silky players and they understand space around them so well to assess where they are, especially outside 50 in that danger area where you can find that next kick in. I just thought he was so effective and elusive, found the best option, well composed. It was a very prototype Murphy Reid game.
Yeah, composed. I think you've hit the nail on the head there. I said to you in the first quarter, I was a little bit surprised he was getting midfield minutes, not for any reason to do with him, but there's so many players that can go through the Vic Metro midfield. I just didn't think he would be in their top 3 or 4 options, but he well and truly proved me wrong. He's obviously had a strong bottom-aged campaign and had some moments this season without probably having that real statement game until Sunday, but certainly that was a great way to start the National Championships with his calmness and, yeah, like you say, that ability to elude contact when he's in traffic, get out of traffic and then hit a target was really impressive. The one that really boosted his draft stocks the most, obviously Murphy Reid really good, and we know how good Jagger Smith was, but I don't think people expected to see Damon Hollow perform as well as what he did, because he was playing on the wing and that's obviously a secondary position for him. We knew we were going to see some positional flexibility with some of these Vic Metro midfielders, and he was one who well and truly showed he has got that versatility. He brought it from the first 10 minutes. I think he had 4 or 5 really big efforts, brought the energy, and yeah, has that speed which he showed as well, and used the footy with class and had cleanliness that belied the wet conditions.
Yeah, well, finished with 21 touches, and I just thought that game from the inside where he's got that natural burst out of stoppage just translated to the outside. It was simple. It was just someone who took it on really well. Yeah, and like you said, he brought that energy from the first 10 minutes, had a bit of a lower patch, you know, as in the second quarter, but picked it right up again and was so productive with his work rate. And I mean, glad he adds that extra bit of versatility to his skill set now that he can play on inside and outside, but also kicked. Oh, it was one of the match-winning goals in the end. Yeah. It was a set shot. It wasn't the match-winning goal in the end, but it was, you know, one of those.
It felt crucial.
Yeah, it felt crucial, yeah.
Yeah, context of the game.
The setup of it. But, yeah, he was terrific.
Yeah, certainly. I think as well, Levi Ashcroft played well without having that absolute statement that Jagger Smith had. He was pretty good in the Metro midfield, kicked a crucial goal as well. Yeah. You know, was the free kick there or not? You're going to question that, obviously. But, you know, to kick a set shot from the boundary line and show that finishing polish was really good. And
drop punt as well.
Yeah.
It was a ridiculous shot.
Absolutely. And, you know, we know his work rate, his ability to get to so many contests and put himself in ball-winning positions. I thought he was really good. Harry Oliver's one that we have to touch on as well. I thought his pressure in the back line was really strong, showed his quick hands, and just hit his targets. It was really efficient.
Yeah, high footy IQ. That's just naturally the way he goes about his game, and helps when you've got a midfield like that to look up and find. And, yeah, it was just really effective with his touch in the end.
Yep. I think someone else that I'd probably want to give a shout out to, I'm just looking at the Vic Metro back line now, and maybe we go through lines, but Luke Gregor, I thought in the back line, was pretty good. He was quite strong over the footy, brought that trademark pressure and hardness. I thought driving into the game yesterday, Nathan, and I think I said to you, it was, you know, raining quite heavily. Who do these conditions suit of the players that are playing? And I think I thought Luke Gregor, and he did have some nice moments with his follow up, and he hit his targets generally pretty well as well. So that was good to see. Harry O'Farrell had some okay moments in the back line, probably would have liked to have been a little bit cleaner, but got himself into good positions. And obviously we touched on Harrison Oliver as well.
I mean, I'd like to touch on Jaden Ewan, and I know we had kind of mixed opinions about his game, and I thought he was quite productive. And whilst the disposal efficiency, I mean, we don't have that stat. I'm surprised given these are on the AFL stats. Oh, you do have disposal efficiency, but effective disposals aren't there. But I thought he was pretty productive, kept moving up, and that work rate high up the ground at times was clean by hand. I thought just those few kicks that were an inch off, but for someone who's probably a bit lower on the confidence scale compared to most in that Vic Metro team, I thought it was a pretty productive outing.
Yeah, I still think he would have liked to have done a fair bit more.
I think naturally that's a game you can build on and say that was okay for my standard. And he's probably got still another level to reach this year, and he probably has to reach another level, but didn't think it was too bad. And probably the last Metro player I'd bring up, unless you want to bring up any more, is his Calder teammate, Isaac Kakko, who had his small forward moments, and that's all he had to have, really. Just really crafty, read the ball well, ahead of the play, and kicked another goal at the end of the game that pretty much, you know, one of those crucial ceiling goals as well.
Yeah, I think it's also important to touch on Pat Rushko. Yep. If the wingers didn't play well yesterday, I think I would have been pretty harsh given the fact that Lucas McInerney, who hopefully gets a game later in the championships, was overlooked as a specialist winger. But yeah, I thought he was pretty good. We know how hard he works, his ability to cover the ground. Maybe would have liked to have been cleaner with his disposal at times, but certainly still found plenty of the footy and ran those lanes really well and held his wits. So I really liked what I saw from him.
Can I just, before you move on?
Yeah.
Jaden Ewan, 88.9% disposal efficiency, second on the ground for Metro.
Yeah.
So maybe it wasn't as bad, but
just didn't find as much of the footy and still probably made some errors.
Still can reach another level. But yeah, let's move to allies.
Just Lenny Hoffman as well, I thought was quite productive down back. But yeah, move on to the allies. And Sam Marshall is someone whose game you were really high on with his repeat efforts. And I thought his decision-making when he got the footy was pretty strong as well.
Yeah, 100%. He's one that I think goes completely under the radar. I guess the factor with him that probably doesn't rank him as high as the other mids that were out there is his hurt factor generally. He's just very productive, you know, out of the contest and moving the ball in transition, and that's his main game. And that's what he's done for Allies the whole time, the whole championships. But he's just so well prepared. When he looks up, he knows where that next kick is going, isn't afraid to push it out wide and keep the ball moving in transition. And then move it inside 50. You want him to hit a target, he'll hit a target. And and in such wet conditions as well, I thought he did it pretty well. And I can understand why he's someone that you can kind of miss as the game goes on, because just a workhorse generally and does the little things really well. But, it, you know, compared to someone like a Lombard where he's taking the game on himself and will literally take the game by the scruff of the neck and say, I'm going to win this myself. Marshall's just that one that will do all the work for you. He doesn't go unnoticed, he's, you know, but he's just, you know, he's that typical team player in the sense that he just does everything so well.
He's leading our votes at the moment as well. Obviously, we'll the Allies have played more games than the other teams, have only got the one game to go, but certainly having a good championships. The Brisbane Lions Academy product, Lachie Hogan, a GWS Academy product, is one who was brought in for the third game after Geordie Payne was drafted. Unlucky, I thought, to get overlooked in the initial squad, and we've talked about that on this podcast, but I thought that first half he really proved some doubters wrong with his tough contested work. There was some repeat efforts, some hard work in the contest. And when he got the footy, his kicking efficiency was really high. There was one target in particular where he hit right on the boundary line. It was about a 25-metre chiseling pass where if it had any more flight, or it was about half a metre to the right, then it would have been punched over the boundary line. It was half a metre to the left, it would have been out on the full. Hit his target perfectly, and I thought he did it all day. Yes, he had a quieter second half, but certainly a game to show what he can do at the level.
Yeah, well, your man gets his opportunity, and he was quite productive, and he's that effort player, like will not give up in any sense. Four quarters of consistent football, and probably wasn't able to find the footy as much in the second half, but I thought that first half when there was a bit of forward pressure coming in, especially from Metro's way, stood up, was reliable back there, so pretty impressive, and he's got... We'll have one more game.
It was interesting to see that he probably played his, clearly played his better footy on the day off half back than when he went into the midfield, because I've probably preferred him in the midfield for Bendigo, but yeah, shows he can play off half back at a pretty high standard as well. I'll tell you, someone who played at a high standard was Zeke Euland, I thought, found plenty of the footy and generally did really good things with it. His vision and decision making is really strong and had a couple of really nice moments where he just showed that silky skill that you've been really high on through the first couple of games of the championships, and kicks it to really dangerous spots when he's going inside 50.
Oh, 100%. He's not even this year, he's next year as well, which makes it a bit more scary for that draft crop and where he'll end up. But I thought it was some extra things as well. He took a really good intercept mark, showed a bit of athleticism, which probably hasn't been the key of his game. It's that left foot of his that's so lethal. Nearly had a really nice goal from 50 where I was like, kick that. Like, you're 50 metres out on the run, and had a good go at it, just missed. But so silky, yeah. He's gutsy as well. Like, he's willing to take that corridor kick on because he knows he can hit it with that left foot. So similar to someone, I'd say, last year, like a Tarkin O'Leary, who just had that ability to size up what's in the middle and just hit it on a 45-degree angle. And he was their leading disposal getter on the day with 25 touches, and thought he was actually going to lead the votes when I was adding them up, but he's currently second in the medal tally. So he's been massive. He's been in the top three, I reckon, each week.
Just a couple of forwards to touch on from an Allies perspective. Ollie DePaul at Qbank kicked some important goals. Really clean crummer and just makes the most of his opportunities. Josh Murphy won his one-on-ones. I think he won a couple of free kicks as well, because he just causes so many, I guess, headaches for his direct opponent with the way he's able to guard the drop zone of the footy and his strength. They don't have a real play at the ball, and then they're forced to sort of go for the body or go for the jumper. So, yeah, kicked a couple of crucial goals, including one that sort of kept them in it for a little bit longer than you probably expected them to be in it. And then, obviously, Job Shanahan took some nice marks as well, although he didn't kick a goal on the day.
No, and that's probably been, like, that's the last two games with Job. They've just been so productive, but probably haven't really got the reward for effort. So that's the frustrating thing with their performances. I think one more opportunity. I'm hoping one of those two has a big bag, to be quite honest. That's my honest thoughts. I'll quickly, before you move on to the next game, I'll go through the votes.
Yep.
So for the Allies, 5 votes went to Sam Marshall. 4 went to Zeke Euland, 3 to Josh Murphy, 2 to Lachie Hogan, and 1 to Daniel Annable, who we didn't touch on, but he's super, super reliable in that midfield and was standing up. That was Dan Annable's game, and he's been doing that the last two as well. For Metro, Jagger Smith takes the 5, Murphy Reid takes 4, Damon Hollow takes 3, Harrison Oliver with the 2, and Levi Ashcroft with 1 vote. Now, Vic Country and SA, which was equally a pretty entertaining game, and it did end up pretty close come the end of it. I'm loading the scoreline here, but it was 87-79 in favour of Vic Country. And yeah, the Country just kind of had that lead at the start of the game. I think they got it out to 22 points. SA came firing back in that third quarter. It was at 50 apiece at one point. I'm pretty sure they kicked a couple of points to get ahead SA, but then Vic Country, it was just the class that SA typically don't have with their kicking efficiency. Most of the time, Vic Country were able to say, yeah, we'll take this game on and win it. And they did.
You talked about the fact that Vic Country were able to skip out to that really strong early lead. Yeah. We'll start with Jasper Auger. I thought it was off the back of what he did, particularly in the first quarter. He positions himself so well inside 50. He's got the speed, he's got the smarts, and he's so clean as well. Kicked two first quarter goals, is really proactive, really elusive, and has a really strong skill set for a small forward. So he's averaging 4 goals per game for Caulfield Grammar and had that really dazzling Vic Country trial game as well. Now he's been able to convert it into the national championships. He's a boy that's from Warrigal, so he played for Gippsland last year, but now with his Caulfield Grammar commitments, he's up in Melbourne and playing for Oakley, and looking forward to seeing what we get from him for the rest of the championships.
Yeah, he seemed to take it to another level, and we saw glimpses of that at Oakley, and we probably both said, you know, is he better off playing in a Gippy team where the talent, the depth isn't there as much compared to an Oakley where, you know, especially with a full team, he's probably going to struggle to have those type of performances in an Oakley team. But he was super crafty. I mean, got himself into space that many times and was rewarded for his ability to find space, getting good spots for his midfielders to find him inside forward 50, and he was efficient as well. And that's what you need to be up forward sometimes, just kick the goals that you get the opportunity to kick, and he was super good, and that first half especially just set the tone for them early, and that's 3 goals you might not have expected from a player like that that ultimately can win you a game.
Yeah, certainly. Someone else who was pretty productive in that first quarter, I thought, was Harvey Langford. A couple of clearances, 5 disposals, and he set up a really late goal to Joe Berry. Joe Berry himself played a pretty good game, showed his speed. Yep. But Harvey Langford's second quarter was where he really came into it, I thought, where his ability to link up possession and create some overlap run on transition was really good. His kicking was quite important on the day as well, and took a couple of important marks, or at least created a couple of important overhead efforts and showed his quick hands as well. He's a Dandenong Stingrays co-captain, and his form has been pretty good recently. He's probably just been overshadowed by Cooper Hines, who's been as good as anyone in the talent league in the last 5 or 6 weeks. So really good to see him get his reward for effort in this game.
I'll keep moving because you summed that up pretty well. And Xavier Ivicic is the next one I want to talk about in terms of players who turned it on from the start. But I thought his intercepting presence in the forward half of the ground was terrific. He was so switched on really early, and we know how quick and bursty he is as a player. But was able to just get the ball moving forward, link up, similar to what Harvey Langford did, but I guess in a more contested space. That was Ivicic's game, as he's a bit of a smaller size. But yeah, it was really refined, I thought, with his disposal. I thought at times probably could have got it off a little quicker, and it would have helped him in terms of efficiency moving forward. But I thought he really turned it on. He took on that almost midfield type role, just moving across the ground, but yeah, it was really productive. I thought it died off a little as the game went on, but I thought early on he just was switched on compared to most, and he was ready to take the game on.
Well, I was surprised to see him play as a full-time midfielder. I certainly expected him to be a forward on the day, and yeah, he went to obviously the first centre bounce and pretty much stayed in there for the rest of the day, but he adds that real speedy dynamic to the midfield, and he's a really smart footballer as well, moves through traffic quite nicely, so it was good to see him have that strong performance. One that it would be remiss if we continued with anyone else now but Toby Trevallier, who was the clear standout player on the day. And I think what he's done this year is every time there's been a big game, he's stood up. Obviously the 2 AFL Academy games and now this game. And you associate run and dash and flair with Toby Trevallier, but in all 3 of those games, it's been his defensive application, his repeat efforts, his competitiveness, and his intercept marking, which has really caught the eye. And we know he's got that dash as well, and he showed that flair on the day, but certainly another big performance to add to his growing CV.
Oh, 100%. I mean, you summed it up again well, but it was really the defensive application, like the little things like, you know, just consistent tackle pressure, those repeat efforts that's not really his game. Like, in terms of, he's just that real quick, rebounds, reads the game so well, but it's those little things when the ball comes to ground that loves from him, that just added that extra element to his game. And yeah, he's been so good in all those rep games.
Yeah, if I could just add one thing, I'd almost argue now that is his game. I'd almost argue his defensive stuff has gone past
into that. Yeah.
His offensive game. The reason I say that, his disposal can sometimes let him down, whereas you always know what you're going to get in terms of work rate. And he took a really important intercept mark late in the game as well, as a contested mark. He just finds a way. He's a really good player. So, yeah, good to see him play well. Well, I think the other, there's probably some others we should touch on. Xavier Lindsay being chief among them. I thought he worked his way into the game pretty well. His kicking efficiency and his overlap run was at its trademark best. Ollie Hannaford, you really like, brought that pressure and strength and toughness as well. His closing speed a couple of times was there. So, yeah, he probably played stronger in the second half than in the first half. And Lockie Jakes, I quite liked his game. Just a nice role player in the back line and certainly showed his X factor. He's got that athleticism. I know you talked about it last week, Nathan, and he rebounds really well and is able to take a grab overhead.
The other couple I might mention, Harry Charleston, I thought was quite good for his first outing. Yeah, it was his typical productiveness out of D50 with that speed to move the ball forward and got off his opponent quite a lot and was just able to generate quick speed and move it forward, especially to the outside. And yeah, even had some nice moments, with a nice clean spin with a couple around him to move it out. So I thought that was quite productive from him. I thought he went up to that next level quite seamlessly. I'll just kind of touch back on Joe Berry, who we just we mentioned before, but it was super effective inside forward 50 as that real danger small forward who popped up at the right moments, kicked some crucial set shot goals, and had a really nice, drop of the ball, runs onto it, runs into goal. So it was pretty prototype small forward stuff from Joe Berry and pretty much picks up where he's left off at Murray.
Absolutely. Cooper Hines was quite effective in the forward line as well, I thought. With his strength, he's really hard to beat one-on-one. But we'll move on to SA. And Nathan, I know you were pretty high on the game of Jacob Newton.
100% I was. I thought he was arguably the reason SA were in this game, especially come that third quarter when they needed someone to stand up. He was 100% there. Just terrific forward presence. Was really tough with his body work to out-muscle a few of his opponents, generate some space, and got in great spots inside 50. Kicked really big set shot goals and not easy ones at that. Ones from 45 metres out, on that slight angle where 50-50 shots. But he was just terrific all day, I thought. And whilst the stats might not reflect that he was, one of their top on the ground, was just super impactful in those moments that really mattered for SA. Finished with 3 goals, and I thought he did everything he possibly could to have willed SA to the finish. Yeah. But it wasn't to be, but he was terrific for them.
A couple who there's going to be natural interest in, obviously Ben Campriali and Tyler Welsh, both played pretty strong games. Ben Campriali found plenty of the footy, and Tyler Welsh really stepped up, I thought, in the second half.
Yeah, I mean, I'll start with Tyler Welsh, and I watched a game of his last week where he kicked 8 goals in the sample 18s, and he's an odd player to play on, and not that I'll ever get to experience that, but he just turns it on for a matter of minutes, and it's a weird style where he's in most plays he doesn't really impact, and that's probably the honesty there. He's not really that impactful when a big contest is there. He's good one-on-one, that's his strength, and that's where he'll typically win most his footy. When he needs to impact at ground level, he's probably not there as much compared to his other forwards, but he was probably able to get the better of Mitch Lloyd in the end, and I thought Mitch Lloyd did relatively well.
He had a good account of himself,
especially given the size difference. I mean, Mitch Lloyd's not, he's that kind of that leaner half-back type that can roll out, whereas Welsh, Welsh, he's big, he's a huge kid to play on, but yeah, created separation a couple times and ended with 4 goals, and that's just what you're going to get. Nearly kicked one late. I think that's what put him within 8 points in the end. But yeah, he's an odd player to play on because he just has his moments and he'll be quiet for what is a 100-minute game. He'll be quiet for probably 80 minutes of it. So hard player to play on. I'll go to Ben Camperelli now, who, yeah, he was one of their best. I've been pretty critical of him, and maybe that's just as a Carlton supporter that's like, I want to get the best of him when he comes to the club, right? But I do criticise his kicking quite a lot. If you watch his game closely, that's, and both of them, Ben and Lucas, they kick really weirdly. And I think it's a general SA thing. SA kicks are a bit different. I don't know why, but they kick a little differently. That's where I was kind of frustrated with Ben early, because he'll get himself into good spots. He's terrific around the contest. He'll get himself into a bit of space, and then the kick goes wayward, and it kind of messes up that transition down the ground. But in saying that, in around the contest, he's 100%, right? That ability to win a hard ball, get it out quickly by hand. He's super efficient. His work rate is terrific and one of the best on the ground. And I was throwing up. I'm like, does he go in my top 5? Purely because that kicking efficiency is like, well, when you look at the game in a whole, it does let him down at times, but, you know, if you take Ben Camporeale out of that game, did SA get that close? No.
Yep.
So, yeah, that's why I had him up there in the end.
A couple of others to just very quickly touch on. Tate Delmenico, I thought, had some really important efforts in defence, a really important tackle, and Angus Clark as well. Both of them probably pieced together pretty close to full games.
Yeah, Delmenico was terrific, I thought, with his defensive applications. Different to Trevaglia in the sense that it was his one-on-one ability to shut down his defender. Probably struggled a little bit when it went out the back, but... Yep. Do most defenders, you know, so, but he was terrific. He was, you know, pressure to force a few holding the ball calls as well. His one-on-one strength, yeah, stood up, clean hands when it went to ground as well. And yeah, I just thought that intent from him was terrific. Whether, you know, it shows on the stat sheet again, his opponent probably, I think his direct opponent kicked two goals, but I still thought from a defensive standpoint, you need players like that in your team. Angus Clark, I just thought he was super efficient with his offensive flair out of D50, clean distributor, had some really good defensive moments where he was able to spoil a few one-on-ones. But in the end, I think Joe Berry probably got the best of him with those three goals, but I still thought tactically he stood up for SA and was able to provide that drive out of D50.
Absolutely. That wraps up the wrap of the national championships.
Votes. Let me give a vote.
Yeah. Yep.
SA. 5 for Jacob Newton, 4 for Tate Delmenico, 3 for Ben Camporeale, 2 for Tyler Welsh, 1 for Angus Clark. From Vic Country, 5 for Toby Trevaglia, 4 for Harvey Langford, 3 for Jasper Elgar, 2 for Xavier Ivicic, 1 for Xavier Lindsay. And I'll quickly give you our top 3 right now, which Sam Marshall sits on at first with 13 votes. Leo Lombard sits at second with 10 votes. Zeke Euland sits at third with 7 votes. There's 6 players currently on 5 and 8 players on 4, but allies have played 3 now. So obviously that top 3 isn't too surprising, and there will be a catch-up at some point, and especially when SA and WA play this weekend, it'll be a bit of a different mix. But we'll move to the next.
Yeah, so while those two games were occurring at Icon Park down the road at RSEA Park in Moorabbin.
It's a long road.
Yeah, it was a... was a AFLW Academy versus under 21 All-Stars game. The under 21 All-Stars made up of players from across the country. So we know in the first under 23 All-Stars, I believe it was just from Victoria, whereas this was talent from across the whole country. Sierra Greaves won the medal for the AFLW Academy, finishing with 25 disposals and 7 tackles. So really good to see someone stand up in the midfield. Ash Centra didn't play this game as a result of a little calf injury. Want to be super conservative with a talent as talented as Ash Centra. Yeah. Sierra Greaves really took to that role really well. Havana Harris finished with the 19 touches. Emma McDonald's taken her game to a new level, 15 disposals, 8 marks, and her field kicking was really effective on the day from all reports. So that was really good to see. And also had Zippy Fish, who... a tackling machine. You don't really associate that with her, but she always produces those efforts. And we know how quick she is as well. Her burst speed's really impressive. Sophie Mackay finished with the 16 disposals as well. Those were probably the main performers on that side of things. And then on the under 21 All-Stars side, Sarah Pousty finished with the 24 disposals, and she won herself the medal for that team. We know how courageous she is. Yep. The 6 tackles, the physicality that she brings was on show. Grace Ballany enhanced her stocks as well, 21 disposals, and just showed a little bit more than what we're accustomed to seeing from her. Scout Howden, a strong performance. Likewise from Maggie Marnie. Jazz Soudan was really good in the first half. Daisy Flockart was quite strong as well. And Lauren Jatzak, for the former Northern Knight, who's been playing some pretty good footy for Casey's VFLW side, she finished with 15 hitouts and was the better of the rucks on the day. So good to see her going well. Evie Parker did some okay things, and she had a fallow Eastern Range on the ring in Georgie Brisbane, 10 disposals from the wing. So good to see her showing something a little bit different. Probably hasn't been the start to the season she would like, and we'd love to see her kick some goals and take some contested marks up forward, but shows a little bit of flexibility to her game. So that was the game, and we should say that the AFLW Academy were able to get up in that one, 53-18.
Yeah, they certainly were, and that wraps up the AFLW Academy series. That's the two games they're playing. Played them very far apart, which was a little odd in all honesty, but both are done now, which is great to see. Move now to on Saturday afternoon, you were at the Metro and Country Girls Trials. Mm. So weird trials in the sense that, well, you had that game going on. So most were playing in that. So it was a very kind of weird setting.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, as you're going to talk about, there were no umpires that turned up, which is a bit disappointing, in all honesty, given the standard.
Yeah, it's not good enough.
It is not good enough, and that's something that should never happen again, especially, I mean, it's country and metro trials. If that was the boys, it would never happen, so that's very disappointing that it did happen. But let's talk about the positives of this. And I'll start with the first game of the day, and Rebecca Clotty was the main standout for country. I'll let you talk about her first. What was so good about her game? Because she has been able to show glimpses of that really high standard of footy at Falcons level.
Yeah, certainly. It was her willingness to just take the game on, and her athleticism. Every time she got the footy, she did look to take meters. Was there a little bit of, I don't want to say selfishness, but, you know, her wanting to really stand up on the day? There probably was a little bit of that. She could have given first option at times, but she certainly put a really strong case forward. The only thing that probably let her down was her field kicking. She kicked a couple of balls out on the full and was a little bit messy at times. It is always hard to kick when you're at full speed, particularly when you're as quick as what Rebecca Clotty is. And she's also a tenacious tackler. So just, yeah, brought both of those elements to the game that we know that she's got. And like you said, we've seen it at Falcons level.
Talk me through some of the bottom ages on the day that could possibly end up on a country or metro list in their bottom age year. So who were those players who had a good day out?
Yeah, and it was an interesting one because most of the bottom ages played in the first game, so it looked like that was a game where you sort of wanted to see, can these top ages really stand up against bottom ages? Because obviously you expect the top ages to stand out, but there were certainly some bottom ages that were really strong. And I'll start with Abby Hobson, a Gippsland power product and marking forward. She's got some real aerial presence. I talked about her last week on the podcast. She just uses her body really well, finished with a goal from 40 metres out, I think, on the run. But yeah, she presented an option up the line all day and was really hard to beat aerially. Nalu Brothwell did a couple of really nice things. Alice Stoddart was a real standout when she got the footy. She just gains metres for her team and, yeah, is really dominant in the air and you know, takes those intercept marks and is a hard tackler as well. So that was on show on the day. So those were probably the main standout bottom ages from a country perspective. From a metro perspective, I thought that overall, I think some players worth giving a shout out to. Marlo Graham was really good. She had some really important moments. Isla Baldwin got some midfield minutes, and Eastern Rangers girl, really liked what I saw from her. Geordie Allen, we talk about bottom ages. She was probably the main standout of the bottom age contingent in the first half from Vic Metro. She was really strong overhead. She showed her running capacity and just put herself in ball winning positions, some really dangerous positions. One, holding the ball tackle, which was really crucial, and that just probably typified the hardness that she brought throughout the day. And also, before we move on, just need to touch on Talia Sanger. A really good journey. She's one who had an ACL injury. She's been back for 4 or 5 games now, and her running numbers are better, the Dandenong Stingrays are saying, than what Michaela Williamson and Taylor Gatz were in their draft year. So that tells you how well she's going. So yeah, probably a little bit out of sight, out of mind in recent times, just as a result of that injury. But since she's come back, she's been really, really good from a aerobic capacity point of view, and her skills were also excellent on the day, probably as good as they've been. She doesn't have that rust in her game anymore. She's got some footy behind her, and it really showed on the day. So she was probably above the level, and that was good to see. Stella Huxtable, another bottom major, to really perform for Vic Country.
So that's game one. Game two, I'm going to ask you about Metro. Charlotte Miller, tell me about her game, because probably the main standout for Metro.
Yeah, the main standout in the fact that you probably didn't expect a performance from her, being bottom major from the Western Jets, and you know, there's some stronger names in this team, but yeah, she just showed her burst speed, and her ability to shrug off contact was also really impressive. And you know, she's obviously in a team that has struggled this year, but when she was around good players, she was able to really stand up again. And yeah, she kicked a really impressive goal from 40. So yeah, a strong, complete performance from her, and she's going to be one to watch because, yeah, her ability to stand up at the next level and show that speed was really impressive. Georgia Knight was also strong for Vic Metro. She took a really strong mark or multiple really strong marks. You know, her closing speed was really good, and she steps through traffic so well. We know she brings that energy to the forward line, and she certainly did that as she usually does. Zara Neuwirth typically strong and clean down back for Metro as well, the bottom-aged Oakley Charger key defender.
On the countryside, a few Murray girls that impressed in Holly Egan and Rain Dodd and Gemma Reynolds as well for the Stingrays as well. But tell me about those three, and had very productive seasons up to this point, so it's no surprise really that they've just come in and translated that at rep level.
No, it certainly isn't. And Holly Egan's move to the back line has proved a masterstroke, because since she's gone back there, she's been a real general down back, both for Murray, but then she's also shown she's able to do it for Vic Country. She just patrols the back line really well and is that player who just intercepts the ball and keeps pressure on when Vic Country have got it in their forward half, and is able to relieve pressure when it's in their back half, just with her composure and her ability to hit a target and her calmness when the ball hits the ground as well. But it's her bravery overhead that was probably the one wood of her game, as it usually is. Rain Dodd, yeah, certainly one to keep an eye on, and we've talked about Rain and Constance throughout the season, but yeah, she took some really strong marks, put herself in dangerous positions, and her tackle pressure and energy was really important, so she's really building some nice form as well. They've got some talent up there, the Murray Bush Rangers, despite the outcomes of the games not necessarily showing that. And then yeah, Gemma Reynolds' first half in the midfield was exceptional. She played the second half down back, but yeah, her cleanliness and her ability to step through traffic was what made her game so good. Also just want to touch on Sienna Hobbs, probably another one in a similar vein to Charlotte Miller, that, you know, wasn't necessarily expected to have a huge game, but you give these girls opportunities and they're happy to stand up. Took three or four really strong contested marks, some lead up marks as well. Her pressure was really good, and her ability to step through traffic and her poise when she had time to make decisions was quite strong.
The Allies play Vic Metro. It's the first game of the Girls' Championships on the 29th of June, so still a bit of time to go, and then Queensland play Vic Country on the 7th of July. Before we finish, and like I remembered, we have to do our Talent League tips,
yep,
as there is Talent League coming up. Tipping currently, I actually had to go back 2 weeks and recount everything, but I'm leading by 2 in total, 78-76. I lead by 4 in the boys. You lead by 2 in the girls. So still tight. It's actually like identical to last year pretty much. This is where we sat. But on the Friday night for the boys, starting with the boys, Dandenong play Oakley at Frankston.
Yeah, I just think Dandenong's going to be a little bit too strong in this one.
So do I. Murray and Gippy at Port Melbourne on Saturday. This will be pretty interesting watch, I reckon.
This will be a good battle. I think it'll be really tight, but I think Murray will just have that depth.
I'm going to say Gippy just to split things up. Eastern and Calder at Box Hill on Saturday.
Eastern obviously missing their school kids at the moment, and obviously that weakens them, but I still think they should just get the job done. But Calder will give a pretty good account of themselves.
I was at this exact game last year, and Calder absolutely stomped
this
them in the third
Garcia
quarter.
This was Hugo Garcia in the wet
yeah,
conditions.
Yeah, this was 8-goal third quarter, and I don't think the same thing will happen, but I still think Calder will get up and had a good win a couple of weeks ago. Bendigo and Sandringham, who thought we'd be saying that sentence, to be honest, because this hasn't happened in years. Like, since at least I've been following it, these two have never played. So, yeah, it's very interesting. Who do you think will win?
Yeah, Bendigo will be far too strong in this one with the schoolboys out.
So, yeah, I'll agree. Geelong and Northern.
Northern. Just.
Yeah, I reckon, yeah, Northern. John haven't been in great form. And then Rebels and Tassie at Craigieburn.
Yeah, Tassie, despite missing their top enders, they always find a way. They're a well-run program.
Tassie to make it 7 in a row. That is ridiculous. For the girls on the Saturday, Calder and Western at Craigieburn.
I think Calder get their second win of the season.
I think Western get a win there. Northern and Oakley.
Oakley,
that'll be actually very interesting, that game. Shows you where Northern's at. So I'm quite interested to see the result there. Doubleheader, Eastern play Sandy before Eastern Calder.
Yeah, I'll go Eastern.
So will I. Tassie play Murray at Craigieburn.
Tassie, yep.
Tassie as well. And then Rebels play Bendigo at Windy Hill.
That'll be a really tight game. I don't think it'll be, despite the ladder positionings, as one-sided as you expect, but I do still think the Pioneers will be slightly too strong.
Well, you watched this a couple of weeks ago. I mean, this is a quick turnaround. Who'd you just say?
I said the Pios.
So I'll say the Rebels, and we'll try to split things up as much as possible. But that wraps it up for today. Thank you all for watching. Next week, back to Talent League. normal programming. I'll be reporting on the SAWA game to happen for the boys' championships on Sunday afternoon. Thank you all for watching. Check out our socials for more, and we will see you in the next episode.